Say good morning to each and every one of you here this morning. Bring you greetings this morning in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I want to welcome each and every one of you here, and the visitors are with us. I trust you'll feel welcomed as we worship the Lord together. It is good to be gathered together again this morning. It's good to be here, and it's like somebody else said, yeah, we didn't have church last Sunday, and it's seems like most years in this area, we always have at least one snow Sunday, but it is good to be able to come back together and gather together to worship the Lord. I've been encouraged by the service so far and the Sunday school lessons, the songs that we sang, and yeah, it's just a good day to be alive and a good day to continue to put God first and live for Him and be examples and witnesses for Him. The message we have for us, I was planning to share this message last Sunday as the first Sunday of the new year, but we didn't have church, and I was thinking too, the way the schedule got switched around there in December, I think this is probably the longest. I think the last I preached was the first Sunday in December, so it's probably almost the longest time that I didn't share a message since almost 20 years that I've been in the ministry, but that was a good break. It was good to, yeah, just sit back and listen and enjoy and worship the Lord in a different way many times. But it is good to be able to be here, though, and be willing to and able to share the Word of God again this morning. Thinking about a new year, in some ways, you know, from December 31st to January 1st is just another day. But if you stop and think about it, what did you do in the past year, and what are you going to do in the new year? What are we doing for the Lord? What have we been doing, and what are we going to do? Talked in Sunday school a little bit about motivation or being motivated, but a couple things I thought about as it ties with the message here this morning. Are we moved by your past, or are you motivated about your future? A couple questions for each one of us to think about. Are you moved by your past, or are you motivated about your future? Most businesses take inventory at the end of the year, and that would be on their personal or the items they have left to sell. A lot of farm businesses put a 10% sale on near the end of the year, trying to move a lot of inventory out so they don't have as much inventory to take an account of. But yeah, also in businesses, the financial statements need to be made at the end of the year. We need to do our be ready to do our taxes on tax season. But what about in our spiritual life? Do you ever stop and take inventory of what we have done in the past year? Are we at a better place this year in our relationship with the Lord and our service for the Lord than we were a year ago? Have we grown? Have we fell backwards? Are we going backwards, or are we going forward in our service and our relationship for the Lord? Another way to think about it, are we dwelling on our past? You know, all of us have made mistakes. All of us have regrets. All of us have things we wished we would have done differently. But are we dwelling on our past, or are we ready to move on into the future in our service for the Lord? The title of the message this morning is Motivated to Move On. I mentioned a little bit ago about all of us having regrets. There's probably only one person that ever lived on the face of this earth that didn't have regrets, and that was Jesus himself. Everybody else that has lived on the face of the earth has had things they've done they would regret later. When I think back of some of the things I did in my earlier years, I just kind of shudder and can't imagine that I was dumb enough to do some of those things, but yet... I can't dwell on those. I know I have confessed and asked for forgiveness. They are put under the blood, and so now we are motivated to move on. There might be times that we regret that we didn't do things that we should have done. You know, we not only have regrets that we shouldn't have done certain things, but we also sometimes have regrets of things that we should have done that we didn't do. This morning we want to think about the life of the Apostle Paul a little bit. He's the one that wrote, the author of more of the New Testament than any other authors. But he also was a man that lived with a lot of regrets, a lot of heartache, a lot of sorrow, and a lot of remorse. But he didn't dwell on that. He didn't, you know, as we go through the message, we'll maybe think about this a little bit more. He had so much regret, so much sorrow from the things that how he had persecuted the church and persecuted the Christians, I'm sure there's times if he dwelt on that, it probably was disheartening or discouraging, but he didn't dwell on that. He was moving forward and pressing forward and giving his best to the Lord. Text we will be looking at this morning, if you will turn with me at this time, is Philippians chapter 3. We'll be reading verses 10 through 14. Philippians chapter 3, verses 10 through 14. This is right after where Paul is given a warning for against false teachers, and also given a little bit of acknowledgement of who he was and some of the things he had done in the past. But then he comes down here to verse 14 or verse 10, starting there at verse 10, and he says, and this is kind of his heart's desire, the first verse, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend, that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We see here several different things we'll be looking at this morning. We'll be looking at three different parts. The first part we want to look at is don't become stagnant. You know, I don't know if you've ever thought about it, but you know, most of us have probably been into Bear Valley different times, and there's that little pipe they have there where there's a spring water coming out of the side of the mountain. And there's almost every time we go down there, if we have something, we'll stop and get some water out of there and drink it. It's supposed to be some of the most purest water that you can get to drink. But I never really followed where that water runs to. But if you would go down to where that water is going to, say, 30 or 40 feet, and there was a little puddle that formed off of where that water is streaming to, if you would get water out of that little puddle from that same stream of water that is stagnant, it would make you sick. It would not be good for you. It would have bacteria growing in it, especially different times of the year. I remember my grandfather, I think it was, and I would not have remembered him, but I remembered hearing this story. I think there was a stream or something on one of the farms where he would often, when he was out tilling the ground, he would stop and get a drink of water. But the one time he did, it was in the middle of the dry season, and the water was not moving much at all, if at all. And here it made him really, really sick. He got sick from that because it was stagnant. It had bacteria. But that's what we want to think about that, and thinking about our spiritual lives. We don't want to become stagnant in our spiritual life. We don't want to come to the place where we come to a standstill, or worse yet, fall backwards. We see that here in our text this morning. We'll be looking at all the verses here at one point, but we'll start out by looking in verse 12, where the Apostle Paul says, not that I have already attained. In other words, not that he's resting in what he's already done, or not that he's resting that he is saved, but he's wanting to keep on going. Start verse 12 there again. Not as though I had already attained, either already perfect, but I follow after, or I press on, if that I may apprehend that for which I have apprehended of Christ Jesus. In other words, we see him here saying that he's not going to become stagnant. He's not going to stand still. He's going to continue to press on. He's going to continue to do what he can for the work of the Lord. If you look at the Apostle Paul's teachings and his ministry, you see very quickly that he points out about the Christian life becoming as a battle, or as sometimes as a race. But he don't bring that out so much here in this text this morning, but we see, I want to look at a couple verses back in 2 Timothy chapter 4, when he's getting near the end of his life, in one of his letters to Timothy. And he says here, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. In other words, he's nearing the end of his life here on this earth. But then we see where he says in verse 7, but I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. But one of the things I want us to think about as we think about our message this morning and tying this verse in there with it as he has fought a good fight, he has kept and finished his course, or I think the New King James Version uses race. I have fought a good fight, I have kept, finished my race or my course, and I have kept the faith. Paul was saved, sure, and sanctified, but he was not satisfied to stand still. I seen that quote while I was studying and thought that stood out very well. Paul was saved, sure, and sanctified. So here we're not seeing Paul questioning his salvation. We're not seeing him questioning his relationship with the Lord, but yet he was not satisfied to stand still. He was one of the most, probably most dynamic spiritual leaders and powerful prayer warriors, but he was not satisfied with that. He wanted to continue to grow and improve in his walk with the Lord. All of us here this morning are on a journey, a spiritual journey, if we have accepted the Lord as our Savior and are living for Him. All of us are still growing in our walk with the Lord. We sometimes hear that children's song. We often think of it as a children's song. He's still working on me. There really ought to be a sign upon my heart. Don't judge me yet. It's an unfinished part. But I'll be perfect just according to His plan, fashioned by the Master's loving hand. Next, one of the other verses is, in the mirror of His word, reflections that I see make me wonder why He never gave up on me. He loves me as I am and helps me when I pray. Remember, He's the potter and I'm the clay. And the chorus says, He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took Him just a week to make the moon and stars, the sun and the earth, and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient He must be. He's still working on me. And I trust that we'll realize that here this morning, that when we do make stumble or make mistakes, that's not the end of the story. We need to confess that and forsake it and move on. So there's two things I think we need to think about here just a little bit this morning as we're thinking about some of this and we need to be on guard for. We need to avoid living in the past, and we need to be careful that we're not resting in the present. The question that I've seen as I was studying says, are we mature enough to realize that we are still not mature enough? In other words, are we mature enough to realize that we need to continue to grow in our walk and our relationship with the Lord? I believe that's one of the things that we made the Apostle Paul, the great man that he was, Christian man that he was. He was more concerned in what God saw in his character than anything else in life. He walked in humility and obedience to God. And I think too, and this was another quote that I've seen, I believe one of the reasons that he was so successful in his service for the Lord that he never thought of himself as being successful. He was always there and motivated to serve the Lord because of his love for the Lord. Part two, and we'll think a little bit more about Paul and his past in this section, is being delivered from your past. Verse 13, brethren, I count myself not to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. If we are always focusing on the past and regrets maybe that we've had, we won't be able to experience all that God has for us for today and tomorrow. Paul's reminding us here to press on, to reach forward, to focus on the goal. I think he's also encouraging us to continue to put our best foot forward, and that life can be a winning race, so to speak. Not a race in competing with one another, but a race in finishing what God has for us here to do. I'm sure I've used this illustration before, but if somebody in the Olympics is focusing on where they have been and not where they are going, it will many times distract them into getting better from where they were, from what they were before. And that's the same with us today. We need to continue to focus on what God has for us in the future, and what He wants from us, and our love for Him compels us or motivates us to serve Him on a daily basis. Let's think about the Apostle Paul's life just a little bit, and some of the things leading up to maybe some of him in his conversion experience, before his conversion experience and some of after him. He had to forget about his past guilt. He was a blasphemer, a persecutor, and was out to murder Christians. He had to forget about his past grief. Now, this would have been after he was a Christian. He was beaten. He was jailed. He was mocked. He was shipwrecked, and he was rejected. He had to let go of past grudges. He was lied to and lied about. He was mistreated. He was forsaken and thrown out of many places. But yet we see him here in verse 13 using that phrase, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. You know, we talked a little bit in Sunday school about motivation or what motivates us. And I thought about the Apostle Paul. You know, he didn't know what he was going to face when he went on his missionary journeys. He didn't know if he was going to get thrown into prison again. He didn't know if he was going to get thrown out of the town that he went into. So he wasn't necessarily, if it was me, I wouldn't have necessarily been motivated of what I'm going to do that day as far as where I'm going. But yet his motivation that motivated him to do what he did was, or compelled him and motivated him both, was his love for the Lord and what, because he knew who the Lord was. And that motivated him to go and do what he did each and every day. Seen a documentary just recently on a man. He's down in Tennessee, I believe it maybe is. And he's maybe a little bit more simple, so to speak, or definitely lives a very, very simple lifestyle. He lives out kind of in the wilderness somewhat. He lives on a trailer with no electricity. But one of the things, he's, I'm not sure how old he is now, probably heading towards 40 in his upper 30s for sure. And one of the things that he feels, let me back up, in his younger years, he faced a lot of discouragement, a lot of depression, a lot of just, he was ready to commit suicide different times. And God saved, he got saved, and God saved him from that. And now he feels God calling him to go and tell others and give them the message of hope. And he very seldom wears shoes unless it's cold. So he went to some of the larger cities, and he's preaching, and he talks to people that he runs into, and it was just kind of interesting where there was another man that went along with him the one day, and they were there on the one street corner, and he was sharing with some people, and the one lady came up and said, you know, it was getting toward evening. She said, you know, you might not want to be here after it gets dark. So they did move to a different area to share. But I guess I was thinking about this whole thing of what motivates us to do what we do in life. Are we motivated and compelled by the love of God to continue to move forward and continue to do what God has for us to do? In verse 13, Paul uses the phrase there as well, where he talks about forgetting those things. That word forgetting, that word, as Paul used it here, is not, you know, we wish we could forget some things that happened in life, but we can't necessarily forget everything. But the term, the way he's using it here, it would be to be no longer influenced or affected by your past. Sometimes that's easier said than done. You know, we often hear the phrase of forgiving and forgetting. That's easier said than done, because we can't always, our memories are too good. We wish we could forget some things. But we want to think about God here just a little bit. God has told us in Scripture that if we confess our sins and forsake our sins, He will remember it against us no more. Back in Isaiah, it tells us that we will be pure and white and as righteous before God when we have accepted Him as our Savior and confess and forsake our sins. Does that mean that God has a bad memory? No, I don't believe it does, because He is all-knowing. But I believe it is God reminding us that He will never allow our past confessed sins to influence our relationship with Him today. And I believe that's what the Apostle Paul was saying here. He's going to commit that all unto the Lord and forget those things which are behind. Forget the what he had done to against the church. Forget what had been done against him because of what he was doing for the Lord. But he's going to continue to press on. We see many people today in this day and age trying to cope by using drugs or alcohol. Somebody said it like this: many times it's because the reality of yesterday is influencing their focus for today. They think that somehow or another will dull or make them forget what reality really is. Then there's other people that you meet up with that seem to almost have a rope connected to their past. It's just dragging them along. They can't hardly let go of the things that happened in the past. But I believe, as we see the Apostle Paul telling us here, we need to remember to let the past be the past, forgetting those things which are behind, and continue to reach forth unto those things which are before. We need to let go of our past and continue to press on. Part three we want to look at yet is being focused on the future. And we see that the Apostle Paul there in verse 14, it says, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." So we see that's what he's referring to when he talks about there at the end of verse 13 of reaching forth unto those things which are before. He's pressing toward. He's realizing of the hope that he has of being in heaven someday, and he's going to live his life as a reflection of what his hope is and spread the good news about Jesus and the gospel everywhere he goes. I believe Paul had purposed in his heart to put all of his efforts into one thing of value, and that was to share the good news about Jesus. Back in Mark 10, we know the encounter that Jesus had there with the rich young ruler. Won't take time to read all of that. But we know how many of us, it's a very familiar portion of Scripture. Mark 10, we know that the rich young ruler had asked him what he has to do to be saved. And Jesus told him, "Thou knowest the commandments, to not commit adultery, do not steal, do not kill, do not bear false witness, and to defraud not your father and your mother." And he said, "Master, I have done and observed all these things from thy youth." And then Jesus told him, "One thing that thou hast lackest, to go thy way and sell whatsoever thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and take up thy cross and follow me." And it said he went away sad and grieved because he had great possessions. But I believe what Jesus was telling him here: you have never surrendered your life to me. You've never given your control of your life over to me. And that's what Jesus is asking of us today, is to surrender and commit our lives to him and recognize that everything we have is his and a blessing from him. I'm sure all of us have looked through a pair of binoculars or a telescope at one point in time. If you have a pair of binoculars, you can zero in on something way out. And it pretty much, if you zero in on that one thing and you got the binoculars up close to your eyes, that's all you see is where that is pulling in or what you're looking at. And so I guess what I want us to think about in connection with that is, what do we zero in on life? What is our main motive of why we do what we do? Do people do people recognize and realize when they meet us that we are saved? There is something different about us. There's a little story about somebody put together about a bumper sticker: "Don't follow me, I'm lost." It says, "This quip is meant for fun, but it is a serious thought that is all too true for far too many people. Multitudes of parents are lost on their way to everlasting destruction. They should say to their children, 'Don't follow us.' It is indeed sad when children follow those who should be noble examples but are going the wrong way. Parents are neglecting the reading of the Bible, using foul language, smoking and drinking, and the next generation follows after them. Mothers are dressing in ungodly fashions, and their daughters are following them. Parents are breaking their marriage vows, flirting, and even marrying other partners, and their children are following them. Very few parents are willing to say, as Joseph did, 'How could I do this great wickedness and sin against God?' We sometimes sing the song, "Somebody Follows You." That saying is surely true. These words should serve as a sober reminder for us to be careful lest we lead someone on the wrong way. It would be much better if we could truthfully have a sign on our vehicle that says, "Follow me and I will lead you to Christ." But really, we don't need such a sign. A godly life is the best sign, and it does have an influence on the people around us. That is why we need to leave a faithful Christian witness to all that we meet. Our first responsibility is our own children. That will be the main ones who will follow us. Many others will also notice and will follow. Then he asked a question, "What is your life portraying?" Then there was also a quote at the end, "To show the way, we must know the way and be willing to walk in that way." Paul learned that one of the secrets to moving forward was to continue to remain focused. What is your goals in life? Do your goals include surrender to the will of God? Are you willing to come broken and humble before the foot of the cross? Thinking about our goals in life, some questions to think about. Will your goals get me to a deeper and more intimate relationship with God? And this here is a good one. Will it help somebody else succeed in the process? Are you willing to help others succeed in what you do in life? Another question, will my goals violate any scriptural principles to get there? Will it help me to accomplish what God has for me to do today? We see two things here in our text that the Apostle Paul said. The one is in verse 12 and the other one is in verse 14. That one, the phrase in verse 12, "But I follow after." And then in verse 14, "As I press towards." We see that was his two main goals that motivated him to do everything else in life, to follow after and to press towards or to press forwards. You know, all of us have disappointments and discouragements in life. Maybe you're not really where you wish to be in your life today. Maybe you're tired of your job and you want to do something new. Maybe you're discouraged in your marriage. Maybe there's things in your past that you're not proud of. Well, I believe the scripture is encouraging us today to commit it to the Lord and press on. To be able to press on, it takes more than just aspiration, inspiration, or perspiration. It takes a dedication and a determination and a surrender to the Lord. This is maybe just a little bit humorous, but I think it fits very well with what we're talking about. As a man by Lou Holtz once said, "If you don't make a total commitment to whatever you're doing when you start looking," let me start that over. "If you don't make a total commitment to whatever you are doing, then you start looking to bail out on the first time the boat begins to leak. It's hard enough to get a boat to the shore when everyone in it is rowing, let alone when one guy starts standing up to try to put his life jacket on." You know, think about that just a little bit. You know, if we're all pulling in the same direction, if we're all working together, if we're all encouraging one another, if we're all pressing on, if we're all committing to serving the Lord, if we're all in full commitment, are we looking for a way to bail when the hard things in life come along? There will be times in life we'll feel that we've maybe failed, but we need to remember as failure is never final. The troubles that fell maybe on our doorsteps today or this week or something that happened, we need to remember to commit them to the Lord and to continue to press on. I think it's Amos Raber and his family, and there was somebody else. I'm not sure where this song originated from, but they sing that song, something about going out in the morning to get a drink from the well, and all he pulls is a cup full of dirt. But then he talks about picking up a shovel and digging another well. In other words, he's basically, the theme of the song is don't get discouraged by the hard things in life, but to continue to pick up a shovel and continue to press on. God has called each one of us with a purpose, and he has a plan for each one of us to do. It's because of the power that God has in our lives that we can press on and continue to be all of what he wants us to do. God's mercy and grace is new every morning. He will continue to give us what we need for life. So a couple questions to think about in closing. What is your vision for today? What is your greatest priority in life? Are we motivated to continue to serve the Lord? Not just motivated, are we dedicated? Are we determined? Do we have a determination that we will serve the Lord? So as we enter the new year, this year, may we use it as a stepping stone in our lives to continue to grow in the likeness of God. So a man by the name of Melvin Newland said this. He's talking about priorities of life, and he asked the question, who or what is the most important thing in your life? I'm hoping that each one of your answers will be, my relationship with God through Jesus Christ is the most thing of importance to me. If so, then that will be on the top of your list of priorities, and say, this will affect all of my decisions, my scheduling, and my relationship with others. It will be at the priority of my whole outlook in life. And then he went on to say, then no matter what happens, I will give my best to serve the Lord. Another thing to think about, what are we going to be remembered by? What do we want to be remembered by? Do we want to be remembered that we gave our best to serving the Lord? We were an encouragement to others. We loved the church. We loved the brotherhood. We will all be remembered someday for something. Even today, when a name comes up, like if you're in a crowd of people, sometimes a person's name comes up and you're like, oh boy, because you know some of his history and some of the things that person is doing. And then there's other people that have been powerful warriors in the work of the church and are getting older. And when their name comes up, it kind of gives you a satisfied feeling, but a reassuring feeling is maybe a good way to put it, that they put their best foot forward to serve the Lord. Another quote that I've seen, I'll end with this, it says, life is not fair, you will fail often, but never give up hope. And then I wanted to end yet with verse 10 in our text today. Paul makes a statement there in the beginning that I may know him. I believe when he's saying that he wants to be fully acquainted with his nature, his character, and his work. That he wants to know him and the power of his resurrection. In other words, what the resurrection can do for us in our life. And the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death. There's a lot that we could look at there in that verse, but I won't take time to dig too deeply into that. But what I want us to think about was Paul's goal in life, and I believe that's a good goal for each one of us to have, that we may know him, that we may be fully acquainted with him and the power of his resurrection and what that will do for us and what that will continue to give us the zeal we need to continue on in life. With those thoughts in mind, for those of you that conveniently can, let us kneel for prayer.